The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The mother of the sons of Zebedee approached Jesus with her sons and did him homage, wishing to ask him for something. He said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered him, "Command that these two sons of mine sit, one at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." Jesus said in reply, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice that I am going to drink?" They said to him, "We can." He replied, "My chalice you will indeed drink, but to sit at my right and at my left, this is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus summoned them and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just so, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. Feast of St. James today, together with Peter and John, three pillars of the ancient church, Jesus' three closest friends, the only three who were witness to the transfiguration, the only three who Jesus called upon personally to be at his side in the Garden of Gethsemane. St. James had the honor and the distinction of being the first apostle to suffer martyrdom for Christ, and the only apostle whose martyrdom is recorded in the New Testament. It said he died at the hand of Herod Agrippa, died by the sword. But before St. James rose to such lofty heights of holiness, he had some deep flaws, like you see on display here in the Gospel this morning. I mean, I've heard of ambition before, you know. Some people want to be the president. Some people want to be the prince. Some people want to be the chief. Some people want to be the big fish. But James wanted to sit at the right hand of the throne of God for all eternity. That's got to win the prize as being the most lofty ambition in all of human history. And you know, St. Thomas Aquinas tells us that it's one of four false gods that we enthrone in our hearts. That is to say, the desire for honor, the desire for ambition. One of four false gods, the other three being power, money, and comfort or pleasure. There's a lot of people that don't care a nickel about comfort or don't care a nickel about money, but ambition, oh, they're consumed by it. They want to be somebody. You've met these people in your life. They want to be somebody great, and they've got a whole plan. I met somebody in college, you know, I swear he had his entire Senate campaign planned from the age of 19. And these people fail to realize that God wants your greatness too. And the greatness that God has planned for you is way greater, I mean, immeasurably greater than any greatness you ever could have planned for yourself. But here's the catch. God's greatness is found in a place you least expect. God's plan for your greatness is always found on a path not of your own choosing. That's why Jesus turns the table on James and John. And he says, "Can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink from? Can you really be baptized as I am going to be?" As if to say, "I'm the King of Kings, and the only crown I'm going to wear in this world is a crown made out of thorns. Are you ready for that?" Of course, they don't know what they're getting themselves into, but they'll discover it soon enough. But the crown that our Lord wore is more glorious than any crown ever fashioned by the hand of man in any kingdom in all of history. And the throne that our Lord sat upon, so to speak, the throne of the cross, as the fathers of the church call it, most glorious throne that there's ever been. But let's face it, it came in a way that people would least expect, in a path not of their own choosing. It's always been this way. Think about this for a moment. How many great leaders down through history, how many esteemed statesmen or people whose actions have turned the tides of the flow of history, how many of these people earned their pedigree in a moment of great darkness? Maybe they were imprisoned by a hostile power. Maybe they were wounded in battle or for the sake of the achievement of some good. Think about like a Nelson Mandela or a Martin Luther King rotting in jail, and they're thinking to themselves, this is the lowest moment of my life, not realizing that in God's reckoning, the path that you would never choose for yourself is your most glorious pedigree. It's always been that way. It's always been that way. Think about Moses. We know Moses as leading the Israelites out of Egypt with outstretched hand, and the Red Sea parted like a wall to his right and to his left. But we forget, Moses used to be the son of the Pharaoh, living in the royal palace of Egypt. And the last thing he would have imagined would that his true greatness one day would be to lead the people out of Egypt. Or look at Francis of Assisi. Son of a wealthy cloth merchant, life of the party, money, to spare, pouring out of his pockets. Last thing he would have imagined was that his true greatness would be the joyful and voluntary embrace of Lady Poverty, as he called her. Pope John Paul II, if you know about his life, once upon a time, his only ambition in the world was to act upon a wooden stage. But God had bigger plans. He was going to make him a leader on the world stage, but he never could have imagined it. Think about the saints, and name me, if you can, one single saint whose pedigree was not drenched in blood, whose moment of greatness was not a path of their own choosing. Think about Thomas More being executed for the sanctity of marriage, or think about Joan of Arc burned at the stake. Think about Damien of Molokai contracting leprosy. I mean, every saint has some example by which their true greatness is a path not of their own choosing. Now, St. James from heaven, he's looking down on the rest of this earth and he's thinking to himself, I'm glad my ambitions were not realized because God's plan was so much greater. But here's the lesson for the day. You're right now walking a path not of your own choosing. There are many things in your life which, if I could give you a magic wand, you would wish them away in an instant. A path not of your own choosing. Do you have the faith to embrace it? Do you have the faith to embrace it with trust from the hand of God? Because one day, from the perspective of heaven, you will look back upon it and see it as the most glorious moment of your entire life. The moment which brought you closer to God and closer to the ones you love than anyone else, than any other time you've ever known. That's always God's plan. St. Paul tells us in the first reading that God keeps this treasure in earthen vessels. It's a reference to the book of Leviticus, in which the priests kept the temple treasury in golden vessels, right? The most magnificent vessels. Banks keep their treasure in vaults. Pirates keep their treasure in chests. God keeps his treasure in you, if you have the faith to embrace it. Something to pray about on this feast day. St. James did. They say that when he came to the end of his life, this is tradition now, they say that when he came to the end of his life, he made such an impassioned speech about the glory of Christ and the greatness of God's plan that the very man who had accused St. James and led him to death himself was converted to the faith on the spot and died right along St. James at his side. For faith like that, to persevere in a path not of our own choosing, we'll ask for his prayers to help us today. St. James the Apostle, pray for us.